nervous. I sat down and put my feet in this freezing cold water. Yeah, he's waving as he goes down the stairs. Freezing cold water, and had to sit there with a smile on my face because all the kids couldn't know what was going on. I couldn't admit what's happening. Anyway, so I do remember that. As you know, as a church, we've been going through a series from Egypt to Canaan. And so we're continuing in that this morning. What we'll be looking at is the crossing of the Red Sea. And we're starting a little late. Mrs. Fleming, don't worry, we're not going to rip the Lord off here. We might end a little late. No, we'll do our best to stay on time, but we'll jump into that. Just before we go any further, though, let's again just pray and ask the Lord to continue blessing our time. Father, we come to you and we just thank you for your grace and kindness shown to Clark and just the privilege that it was for each one of us here as well as those remotely to witness that public declaration of an internal truth. And so we just want to just praise you for that. And again, we want to lift up Clark to you and pray for him. And just ask that you'd continue to bless him and be kind and help him to grow and become even more like the Lord Jesus. And we pray just in the time in front of us.
Give us understanding. Help us to see the truths in it that you have for us. And ultimately, help us see our Savior as we look into your word. We ask that he would be lifted up in this time, and it is in his name we pray. Amen. So let's start by turning over to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. A nice thing and a bad thing about doing a story that everybody knows. So one, you don't have to spend as much time explaining the story. The downside is that everybody knows it, so if you mess something up, everybody knows you messed it up. So it's kind of a catch-22 like that. But let's go ahead. We're going to read we'll start off in the first part of chapter 13, verse 17. We'll read down, and then we'll go from there. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Haroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Now, just by way of a little bit of setting, William, do you have are those working there? Yeah? Cool. Okay, so good, we're there. Just by way of a little bit of setting, back in chapter 12, right, the Israelites had come out and read this in verse 37. We just want to keep this in mind. It said this, it says, the Israelites journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other peoples went up with them, as well as large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. And so we have this large group, probably, I mean, I think conservatively we can say a couple million people. I think that's a pretty conservative number. You know, if all the men were like me, there'd be a lot more. you know, all the men armed for battle, there'd be a lot more people there than a couple million. But I think we can conservatively say that. As well, there were other peoples that had gone up with them. Would these people have been slaves? Maybe. Would they have just been some Egyptians who wanted to follow after the God that they had seen do all these wonders? Possibly. There's a group here that are not Israelites also going with them as they go. And so just by way of context, just the setting here as we come to the Red Sea, we'll run through a few things here, and then we'll jump back into the passage. Can you go to the next slide, please, William? So you're probably wondering what this is. and so what this is, again, this is just some stuff out of Egypt. And so this is referred to the group on the that's coming in here. These were the Hyksos, okay? And these were a people group that had come into Egypt. They had come in, the time frame as far as the Egyptians are concerned, this is the Egyptian side of the history. As far as the Egyptians are concerned, this group came in somewhere between 2000 and 1700 BC. So the time frame fits. Notice they're not dressed like normal Egyptians, right? You can see they wore colored garments and stuff like that. The Egyptian history teaches that they kind of became administrators, and there was a bit of a almost like a civil war with Upper and Lower Egypt. We don't need to get into those fine details. That went on too, but that these people came from the Western Asia area. They know that because of the stuff that's in their tooth enamel, right? When they go through these, they you know go through these bodies, these skeletons that are there and stuff. Also, their skulls not as soft as the Persian skulls, but softer than the Egyptian skulls. Found out Egyptians are hard-headed, but that had to do with like literally hard-headed, that had to do with the fact that they were always shaving their heads. So anyway, I guess it worked like a helmet. Who knows? Anyway, can we go to the next slide, please? The Egyptian history teaches that the Egyptians drove them out around the same time frame after a couple hundred years. It would put it at about the same time as the Exodus. Now, something that you need to know about Egyptian history, Egyptian hieroglyphs, and again, remember, this isn't from the Bible, right? Like, this isn't totally trustworthy. It's just some history that was written down by them. And I think it's interesting when we're looking at these things. But something to note, if you read through the Egyptian hieroglyphs, you don't ever read of any defeat. You'll read of them retaking cities.